Man, I would really encourage you to be at that weekend and make that weekend work. I thought Pastor Doug was going to say, today you get to hear from a great preacher, but in a couple weeks you can hear from an even better one, so pay attention to this. But man, I would highly encourage you just to make that weekend work and be here with us. We expect to encounter God then. We're expecting God to show up then. And I'm fired up today. Whoever's working the camera, stretch out right now because I'm walking today. I'm fired up. But before we get started, can you guys just take a moment with me and can we just honor our lead pastors, Doug and Laura? Can we just honor them this morning? I'm real big. That honor should be obvious. And man, I just want to encourage you guys to love and pray for your pastors, because we are thankful for your leadership in the church and in our lives. And the amazing thing about them is they don't lead from the back. It's a great example where they are today. They're in front because they lead from the front. And what happens often when you're leading from the front is when the enemy wants to engage in warfare against our people and our church, the front lines get hit first, right? So I grew up in a pastor's house. My dad was a pastor. And I can promise you they're fighting battles we will never know about. I know they're fighting battles I don't know about, right? Because God is doing something here and the enemy wants to stop it. And the easiest way to do that is to pull the leaders away, is to tear the leaders down. So pray for your pastors. Okay, let's take a moment, man. We don't do this often. This isn't our thing, our vibe, but I just want to pray over them. And if you guys could just extend your hand towards them, we just want to pray over them this morning. God, we thank you for Pastor Doug and Laura and their leadership and who they are, God. And God, we just want to pray a spirit of resilience over them, that you will strengthen their spirits, that you will just overwhelm them with your presence when life takes shots at them, God. And God, I pray as their church family that when they need us, God, you will place them on our minds and remind us and encourage us to lift them in prayer, to lift them before you, to love on them and care for them as they lead us, as they take arrows the enemy means for us and they stand in the front lines and take those battles for us, God. We just pray that you'll strengthen them. In your name we pray, amen. All right, I told you guys I'm fired up this morning, and we have some teens with us from our youth group in Kansas City before we moved here that came and visited us this weekend, and I told them the Spirit is stirring in me this morning, and I don't know if it's just the Spirit or when people come and visit us, we just love to go all out, live life with them. So we got some sushi last night, but sushi doesn't fill you up, so we got some Taco Bell after that. So something is stirring. I think it's the Spirit, but I told them it could be lots of things. But man, I wanna encourage you to expect to encounter God this morning. Like, I hope you're here not going through the motions. I hope you're here expecting something to happen, expecting heaven to come down on earth, expecting his glory to fill this place. Let's not just let it be something we sing, but something we come expecting every single week. So most of y'all saw I carried a purse up here with me this morning. Okay? So I went and visited. I got dinner with my dad this week, and he gifted me this. Which some of y'all are thinking, that's a weird gift for a dad to give his son. It's going to make sense here in a second. But he gifted me this. As most of you know, my mom passed away a couple years ago. And this was her Bible and her Bible case. And in it, it's really cool. There are some thank you letters from people in their church. There's actually one from Carly, which was cool for me to find, and she kept, and we got to read those. And he gifted this to me, so obviously I was like super thankful. And I went through it, and I took like an hour and just kind of scrolled the pages. And what is amazing, it's just such a surreal, weird moment as I open this and I see my mom's handwriting and the things she highlighted. And this is, I've never seen anyone do this, but she would highlight sections and then off to the side write the date that she highlighted them. So there were cool moments as I got to see what she was reading and think back to what was going on in our family's life at that time or in her life. And it was really, really unique and cool. And there's a couple bookmarks in here, and it was cool to look through and see, man, these were the last things she was reading in the Word of God. And as I was doing this, there were a couple things I just felt God speak to me as I was looking through this. And one was, thank God for good moms. Right? Let's give a hand for good moms. Thank God for good moms. There are lots of moms in this room, and we're thankful for you. The other thing is, this is going to sound like cold and cruel, but I say it all the time when I preach, all I know how to do is be real, so we're real up here. My mom is dead, okay? Like, she's dead. But, like, God has this miraculous way of, even when things are dead, bringing new life into those situations, right? God can bring beauty from ashes. The tomb couldn't hold him. God already conquered death, and my mom was dead, but as I read through this, she was teaching me lessons, right? So even when the battle's over, when things are dead, when we're living in that loss, when we're living in that failure, God isn't done. And I think there's some lessons in how we respond to that, and it made me think of, this is way too big to leave up here, so I'm putting it down here. It made me think of a lady, a good, good mom in the Bible that most of you have never heard of. So this is like what I like to call these pop-up stories in the Bible. When you're like reading and all of a sudden it's just this short little section in the Bible and you're like, where did that come from? Why did we share that story? We love to talk about, you know, David and Abraham and Paul and the disciples and all the big names and big long stories of the Bible, the people that get multiple pages or books, but we often look over those short pop-up stories. And I want to encourage you that when you come across those, sit in that. Like, pray over it. It's there. There's a purpose for it being there. They weren't putting the Bible together and missed that one and accidentally left it in. There's purpose and there's power in those stories. So we're going to talk about a great mom in the Bible. So how many of you have heard of Rizpah? Exactly. How many of you have heard of Riz? No one? No one knows what Riz is? I'm the only hip one here? All right. Y'all don't know what Riz is. I'm not going to tell you. You have to look it up on your own time. It's got nothing to do with Rizpah, but her name starts with Riz, so we threw it out there. All right. Rizpah is a mom in the Bible. She is briefly mentioned. Enough that if you're not intentional with your reading and your time with God, you're going to pass over her. And she's not talked about, but she is a good mom in the Bible. And there are some good things we can learn from her. And the amazing thing is she's a good mom, and she deals with dead things. So in the story of Rizpah's in 2 Samuel chapter 21, if you want to get your Bibles out or your Bible apps, if you want to read that whole story, feel free to. It's about 21 or 14 verses in the Bible. We're just going to read the last four together, but before we do that, I kind of want to give you the background. So King David was the king at this time, and there was a famine throughout the land, a three-year famine where they had not seen rain. And David went to the Lord and just said, "Why is this happening?" And God told him, "It is because there is blood in the house of Saul." See, Saul was met, when he was king, he was meant to leave these people called the Gibeonites alone. God had told him and called him to leave these people alone, to not conquer them, to not wage war against them, to not attack them. But Saul was lustful for power. And Saul attacked the Gibeonites, and there was blood on the house of Saul because of this. So David gathered the remaining Gibeonites and their leaders and asked, "What can we do for you to make up for this?" And they talked back and forth, and what they came to is this, okay? This is the Bible. This is real. Is they said, "Give us seven sons of Saul so that we can kill them and make their bodies spectacles for the people." So they were to be hung and left so that people would remember what Saul did, that their bodies would slowly deteriorate and people would watch. They were meant to be hung in the town square. So they did this. David gathered seven sons of Saul and handed them over, and they were murdered and they were left. Their bodies were meant to be a spectacle, embarrassment on the house of Saul, shame upon their families. And this is where we're introduced to Rizpah. Really great start to her story, right? This is why none of you have heard of her. No one wants to read this stuff. So in chapter 21, verse 10, it starts and it says this: "Then Rizpah, daughter of Ai, the mother of two of the men, spread burlap on a rock and stayed there the entire harvest season. She prevented the scavenger birds from tearing at their bodies during the day and stopped wild animals from eating them at night. When David learned what Rizpah, Saul's concubine, had done, he went to the people of Jabesh Gilead and retrieved the bones of Saul and his son Jonathan. So David obtained the bones of Saul and Jonathan, as well as the bones of the men the Gibeonites had executed. Then the king ordered that they bury the bones in the tomb of Kish, Saul's father, at the town of Zela in the land of Benjamin. After that, God ended the famine in the land." There are lots of things we can learn from Rizpah's story. It's a short, short story in the Bible, but there is so much packed in there, so much that we can learn. But first, I just want to talk about famine real quick, man. I believe that there are some people that walked into this room that are experiencing famine in their life. That maybe your relationships are dry, maybe your marriage is dry, maybe your faith or your belief is in a season of dryness right now. And I just want to tell you that God is wanting to bring rain down on your life. God is wanting to bring rain down on your marriage, down on your faith, on your family, in your household, and in your life. And God is willing to bring rain. But one thing we learned from this story is that there was famine in the land because there was disobedience in the land. There was famine because of Paul's disobedience. And sometimes We don't like to own up to it. We don't like to think of it, but there is a famine and a dryness in our life because there is a disobedience and an unwillingness in our life, because the driest place you can ever be is not living into God's calling on your life. So, Rizpah, all we know about her is she was one of Saul's concubines. That's how she's introduced. That is the title she is given in the Bible forever, is Saul's concubine. For those of you who don't know what a concubine is, today we would call that a side chick, okay? For those of you who don't know what a side chick is, don't worry about it. It doesn't matter. None of y'all know what a side chick is, right? Good. All right. Is what we would call a side chick. She wasn't good enough to be a wife. Her only purpose was to have Saul's baby. That was the only thing she was good for. Her only value in all of society was to bear a child for the king. Because of that, she received some protection, but she had no rights. And I'm just here to tell you, we love to talk about redemption in the church. We love to talk about the stories of victory. But this isn't a story of redemption. This is a story about what we do when we live in the loss, when we're dealing with the defeat, when we're facing failure. What do we do? How do we respond? So Rizpah was Saul's concubine. We don't talk about what happens when we fail in the church, when we actually lose the battle, but that's what this story is about. And what Rizpah does, the only thing she had, the only value she had in her life was her two sons, which were now taken from her, murdered, their bodies left out to be eaten and torn apart, torn to pieces by wild animals for everyone to see, to bring shame on her and her household. That was the only thing she had, and it was taken from her. And what she did when she faced that failure, her sons were gone. There's no coming. This isn't a resurrection story in the Bible. I'll spoil it for you. They didn't come back. There's no redemption here. But what she did was she went to sit in the struggle. She literally picked up, she took a sack cloth, laid it on a rock by the bodies, and stayed there. She moved her residence to the place of her defeat, to the place of her failure, to the place of her greatest loss. She went to live in it. The example here is we are runners. We are runners today. We face struggle and we, Usain Bolt, out of there. We are runners. Don't be a runner. Stay in the struggle. What Rizpah did is she said, I'm going to stay here and fight even though I've already lost. I'm going to sit here even though I failed, even though it's over, even though I've been defeated, I'm still going to fight. And the amazing thing about that is oftentimes where God wants to meet you is in your biggest defeat, is in your toughest struggle, but we don't want to sit in that. We want to get out of it. And what we have to understand is God is trying to meet you there. We need people. We need to be people that are willing to say, God, wherever you are, I'm there. If you're on the mountaintop, I'm there. If you are in a sea of struggle, I'll sit there. If you are in my biggest loss, I'll be there. If you are in the valley of the shadow of death, if that is where you are, then this is holy ground, and I will sit here in this struggle. Man, and I just believe that God is just saying, man, I know it hurts. I know you don't want to stay here. I know you don't want to be reminded. But if you just stay here, we talked about it. I'm a God that brings beauty from ashes. I'm a God that the tomb couldn't hold. I'm a God that has already conquered death and you can't see it, but I am doing a good and a new work, and I can bring new life out of this loss, out of this defeat, and out of your struggle, if you're just willing to sit in it. Don't be a runner. We have to be a people of resilience. And resilience is sometimes fighting even after you've lost. Sometimes it's fighting even when the battle's over, when the bodies are dead. Rizba was a mom that was willing to fight for some dead kids. Long dead. See, it tells us that she stayed there from the time of harvest until the rain came. And scholars will tell us that that could be anywhere from a range of like 3 to 9 months. Most agree that it would have been about 6 months. She took a sackcloth and lived on a rock. We took some teens to Tampa a couple weeks ago and did a missions project one day that we were in Tampa. That's the kind of Christians we are. We go party at the beach, but we do one day of missions work. No, we did a conference. It was awesome. If you see a teen after church, ask them about it, because God did a new and a good work in their life. But we did one mission project one day where we went into this forest that they had done a control burn on, and we just picked up the mess for 3 hours, okay? 3 hours. It was like 90 degrees. It was hot, but it wasn't like we're dying out here, okay? We are in a field of ashes. We are soft. Not our kids. Y'all are awesome. But some other kids with us are soft. We had parents and adults freaking out their kids are going to die of heat stroke. We're out here serving people for 3 hours. It's 90 degrees. We had water. We were good. We weren't resilient. Rizba went and lived on a rock outside for 6 months. We couldn't pick up sticks for 3 hours. We're not resilient. We are soft. We are cushy, all right? We got to be resilient. Rizpah stayed there for several months. Most believe it was 6 months, and she fought for a battle that was already over, for kids that were already dead. You see, in 6 months, that's enough time for bodies to deteriorate, skin to dry up. At the end of it, she was fighting for bones. But she was resilient. And oftentimes, the most important fight you are gonna fight is the one right after you've lost. Because here's what happens. If the enemy can come bury you after you've lost, then what he can do is he can kill your calling. He can completely cover your purpose. And that's why so many people never live into the calling that God has placed on their life. We love to talk about potential. Right? Like we tell people, you have so much potential. God is going to use you. Potential is a bad word. Potential is unused purpose. Go to a cemetery. They're full of potential. We got to stop being a people of potential and be a people of purpose. Live into your potential. What happens is many people never fulfill their potential because they stop fighting the fight after they've lost a battle. And in that, the enemy comes and he can cover the calling. He can kill the purpose. He can convince you that you're not worth it, that you're not good enough, that God's not going to use you. If God was going to use you, you wouldn't have lost that battle. If God was with you, all you see is victory, and it's not true. We're going to lose battles. We're going to lose fights. Nobody wants to clap for that, I see. Man, we got to live into our calling, and we have to fight the fight even after it feels like we've lost. Because I said, we are runners. We are good runners today. We're going to run from struggle. And often one of the first places we run to is reconsideration. We face any adversity and we start reconsidering everything God's called us to and our purpose. And did he really speak to me? Did I really feel him in that moment? Or was that just Taco Bell and sushi? Don't reconsider. Don't run to reconsideration. Sit in the struggle and be resilient. Brian, you can come on up. I'm about to wrap up, I think. But another interesting thing about Rizpah is her name. Carly's going to love this. This is going to impress her so much. She loves biblical history and Hebrew, and I am not a fan. But I did some Hebrew research. So if you want to kiss me afterwards, I'll let you. Rizpah, what's going to happen is I'm going to say this, and afterwards she's going to be like, that's not true. Where did you find that research? Rizpah in Hebrew has a couple different meanings, but one of them is pavement. That's why y'all haven't heard about her. Her story is not a good one, and her name is pavement. There's no glory in that. But the cool thing, like, what does pavement do? It stays, right? It's hard. It doesn't move. I've gone out to our parking lot and jumped on it trying to flatten it out. It doesn't move. Pavement doesn't move. The other cool thing about pavement is we use it to connect, right? Pavement is our sidewalks, our streets, our entryways. It's how we get from one place to another. And Rizpah became that. Like, Rizpah's story is that she became the pavement that took them from famine to rain. And I don't want to harbor on this too long because I feel like I've preached about it before, but sometimes your fight and your struggle, there's no redemption for you in it. It's not about you. But sometimes we have to fight on behalf of other people, the people that are going to come after us. The amazing thing, I've talked about it, my mom passed away, and the amazing thing is that's a huge struggle that shook my family and my faith, and thank God he brought us through it. But there's not redemption and resurrection in that story. My mom is dead. She's not coming back. There's not the happy ending in that sense. But the amazing thing is my story and my testimony has got to be a bridge that has carried people from this side of the struggle to this side of the struggle. And I've talked about this before too. Like, Carly has an amazing testimony that I won't share with you guys because it's not mine to share, but she's faced different struggles and abuse and those kind of things. And it is amazing to watch her be the bridge that brings high school and college age girls from over here in the hurt and in the struggle and in the confusion. And her story gets to be the pavement, the bridge that connects them over here to victory and glory. And the cool thing about that is our story sometimes gets to be the pavement that takes them around it. She's got to rescue young girls from facing the same things she faced because of her story and her testimony, because of her fight and her struggle. Nothing that they did. Because of Rizpah's loss, because of her failure and her defeat, King David heard about what had happened, what she was doing, and her reward was that her sons, their bodies were collected and buried in the tomb of a king, which is a reward, but not redemption. It's not the resurrection. She doesn't get her sons back. She got a little taste, but the real victory in that is because of what Rizpah did, God brought rain on the land. And I never got to talk to Rizpah, but I would bet she'd rather have her sons than rain. But God used her struggle to bring rain in the lives of the people of Israel. And I just want to encourage you this morning and speak to you this morning that we need more people that are willing to sit in their struggle, not for themselves. We need people that are willing to say, thank God for my failure. Thank you, God, for this loss. Thank you, God, for this defeat. Thank you, God, for this struggle. Not because of what you're going to bring me, but because of what you can now do in someone else's life, because of the rain that you can bring on the dryness of a life that I might not even know. God, if that's what it takes to bring rain on the lives of people around me, God, bring me struggle. Make me fail. Bring me loss. God, all I want to see is people experience you. People that have famine in their family, famine in their marriage. God, bring rain down on them. And if it means bringing struggle on me, I'll sit in it. I'll be resilient in it. I'll trust you in it. Because there is a famine in our land, and we have a God that is ready to bring rain down on it, but we can't be runners. We got to be a people of resilience. And the last thing I want to share is some of you may not have a relationship with Jesus. This might be your first time in a church and in many years or in your whole life. I just want to tell you, there is a God that loves you so much that your whole life, he's been protecting you and watching over you from the beasts of the field and the birds during the day. And some of you might be thinking, Pastor Brad, I'm already torn up. I've already offered pieces of myself to the world, and I've been scattered by the beasts of the land, or the beasts of the night, and the birds of the day. But the amazing thing about God is he is a God, Deuteronomy tells us, that he will restore all that you have lost, that he is a God that picks up the pieces from all the areas that you are scattered and brings them back together again. So if you don't know Jesus, I just want to invite you this morning that he is a good, good God that is willing and ready to put the pieces of your life back together. That where there is dryness, he is a God that will bring rain. Where there is famine, he will finish it. And I just want to invite you to pray with me this morning with all eyes closed and heads bowed. God, we come before you and we are thankful that you are a good, good God. We're thankful that you're a God that is doing works in the lives of people around us and people we may not know through us, God, and we trust you with that, God. We want your will, your purpose, your calling done in all of our lives. If that means struggle, if that means defeat, if that means living in the loss, that's what we want, God. If you don't know Jesus and you'd like to invite him into your life this morning, in the quietness of your mind, in your own heart, you can pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I know that I've been lost. I know that the world has taken shots at me. I know there have been moments I've offered myself up, that I've been scattered. But this morning, I just want to ask you to pick up the pieces and put them back together. I want to invite you to be the leader of my life. I want to live into your purpose and your calling. I want to be an example to those around me of redemption, of love, and of your power and your glory. With all eyes closed and heads bowed still, if you prayed that prayer this morning, if you just slide your hand up just real quick, just so we can know, we just want to pray with you and partner with you. And if you'll meet us at the Next Steps table after service, we'll have some gifts for you. We want to get you a Bible and a devotional, and we just want to partner with you on this journey, and we just want to be your advocate. So you can put your hands down. God, we're thankful for the way you've moved in this room this morning. God, we pray that this won't just be just a moment, but that this will be a monument in some of our lives, God, a moment we can look back to as the moment that we gave our lives to you, that maybe we rededicated ourselves or we just decided to go all in, that we decided we're going to line up with your purpose and your will, and we're not going to be scared of failure, that we're going to be willing to sit in the struggle if that's where you want us. God, ultimately, we just want to be a part of your will and your purpose, and we just want to be where you're at. Where you're at is holy ground, God, so lead us there, whether it's the top of the mountain or it's the bottom of the valley, God. We want to be where you are going to meet us. And we trust you with that. God, be with us this week as we continue our lives. And God, I know in this room there are many struggles and trials, temptations that are represented in the lives here. God, we just pray that you'll be with us, that you'll strengthen us, that you'll encourage us, you'll fill us with your power and your presence. Ultimately, that you'll trust us with opportunities to connect disconnected people to you and that we can be examples of your love and your life, God. In your name we pray. Amen. We'll see you next week.
Oh, there's gonna be some brighter days. I swear that love.